You know, we're talking today about being knocked down, but not out. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
You know, the Bible says very clearly in Ephesians chapter 6 that we're in a fight. How many know that we're in a fight? Our fight, our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our fight, our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against one another. It's not against people. Our fight, our battle is against principalities, the forces of evil that would try to come in and would try to bring confusion, discouragement, pressure, fear, anxiety. See, these forces you can't see with the natural eye. But this is the fight that we're fighting against. So you know what? We need to put on the full armor of God. We need to stand up, put it on every day, and say, come on. You want some? Come on. Here's some. And I love this particular movie because it was at probably one of the darkest points of my ministry, of my life, that my kids got me this card. And got a little picture here, Rocky on here. And when I opened it up, you know, it comes to the ones who... You know, I've had this for 10 years. And I still remember the pain that I was going through when I got this card from my kids. Probably one of the darkest times spiritually that I was facing and I was challenged. And they saw fit to see old dad as one of their champions. And I'll tell you, that has always brought joy to me when I start to hear that song and I know that I'm getting knocked down and I know that I don't know if I'm going to get up for the 10th count, but I get up finally, and you know what? We've already read the end of the book and we...
Yeah.
Say that. You know, this particular portion of Scripture, as we all know, that the Apostle Paul, he was an incredible mind. Here we are, we've been talking about this series of confidence in Christ. And you know, the thing, being confident of this very thing, that he that's begun a good work in you, right, he will perform it. Say, he will perform it.
He will. Mm.
Being confident, we need to be confident of the work that Christ has done for us. He is already risen from the dead. He is seated in heavenly places. He is interceding for you constantly, 24/7. And if we would hook into the power, hook into the source, we would be more confident than we've ever been before. And he will perform it until the day that Jesus comes back. Do you believe that scripture? That's the scripture that he has for you. So here we are, right? We talked about the part one here is that Jesus calms the storm. And he has calmed the storm. But I do know that there is a residual effect. And we will constantly be tossed. So today, here we are talking about part two here today. Being confident in crisis is that we can be knocked down, but we're not going to be knocked out. Not going to be knocked out. And we need to be very sure of that. So as we move on, the point one is that pressure will come, but will not overpower us. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Pressure will come. It's inevitable. We've talked about that. In this world, you will have tribulation. It's inevitable. We can't avoid that. But the thing about it is that we need to keep focused on the power that Christ has worked in us. Now, here's the first part of verse 8, and the first part of that is that we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Can you imagine what Paul must have went through to continue to go to city after city after city and to constantly have to face the pressures that he faced? I know that any time that I'm engaged in advancing the kingdom, I can always count on that there's going to be pressure coming back my way. And it's like a fight. I can count on it. If I am doing something positive for the kingdom, do you think that the enemy wants us to continue to make progress and advance without any opposition? So anytime that I've ever been involved in kingdom business, in advancing the kingdom, we can always expect some type of comeback and a comeback. Look at this particular portion of Scripture in 2 Corinthians 7:5. It says, "For when we came into Macedonia," this is now the Apostle Paul. If you remember, Apostle Paul was, he was detoured from going to Macedonia for a short season. But now that he's going now to Macedonia, we were harassed at every turn. Conflicts on the outside, fears within. Have you ever felt that? Conflicts from the outside. I'm dealing right now with a situation with the city. I don't know if you know a whole lot about what OT does. You probably don't know and you probably don't care. And that's okay. Really. But we're trying to help those that are in the recovery community. How many here know of people that are addicted to some drugs or alcohol or anything like that? Raise your hand. Look at this. Turn around. Keep your hands up. It's incredible what the addiction community has to go through. There's some good people that are addicted to alcohol, addicted to drugs. We're trying to help these people that are addicts in our community. And, you know, and I say this very respectfully, that the city has created an ordinance to remove some of these halfway houses from our community. I don't know if you're aware that we have over 50 three-quarter homes. They call them sober living homes or whatever. There's people that are coming here to the Blue Water area to receive help and freedom from addiction because we're known as kind of the recovery city. And so what's happening is that, and I get the city's perspective. They don't, how many want to live next to a recovering home? Not many. So I get the whole idea. But you know what? We're trying to help people that are in recovery. So we're experiencing a lot of pressure from the very people that are trying to, you know, set order in our community. So, you know, you can count on these types of pressures that we're facing. Let me just say this. There is a scripture that Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, "There is no temptation that has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful, and he will let you," what? "He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." How many are feeling pressure? You felt pressure, you felt tempted. And I'm saying this. I've noticed this in my ministry. It's that those people that have maybe come to Christ, maybe even from an addiction of some sort, when they feel pressure, when they feel knocked down, they have a tendency to fall prey to that which was familiar before they came to Christ. And they have a tendency to fall off the wagon and get back into what they've been saved and redeemed from. Do you agree with that? So that's what happens. That's what can happen to people when you are making progress spiritually. You get discouraged, you get knocked down, and you want to say, "Man, this ain't worth it. It was better over here." And so, you know, there's those temptations that are out there. But you know what? God's already provided a way of escape for you if you will listen to the voice of the Spirit. So, you know, the peer pressures that come, we can be pressured to do quite a few things in that area. But we need to move on this morning. Disappointments, number two. Disappointments and confusion may come, but will not discourage us. You know, you probably all, there's quite a few people here. I've never even said this really publicly before. And my wife's going, and this has been 15 years since I've moved from pastoring a local church to move into this ministry. And I must say, this was a real challenge for me. You can't only understand the challenges that I went through to go from across the street to doing what I'm doing now with Life of Faith. Disappointment, confusion, perplexed. How many have been perplexed? But not in despair. Man, when you can grab a hold of the scriptures and the word, and sometimes we don't understand what hits us sometimes. Disappointments come. Confusion may come. But you know what? I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm not going to be in despair, because I know that God has everything in control. You know, Psalm 13, I love this particular portion of scripture. King David, he had some circumstances that he went through. How many know that he went through quite a bit in his reign, right? He was tempted. He yielded to temptation. He was perplexed. He was tossed. And this particular portion of scripture in Psalm 13, he writes, he says, "How long, O Lord, will this go on? Will you forget me forever?" I mean, he goes on and asks these questions. Where have you gone? And I can remember in my period of growing that I blame God for this, I blame God for that, I blame God. How long am I going to endure this? I went through 2 years of hell, literally hell, in my life spiritually. It was the toughest time for me. You can only imagine. But you know what? God was doing that in my life, and I didn't even know that he was perfecting something in me and that he was helping me. And now that I've gone through that, I look back at that day as the greatest time in my entire spiritual journey. I thank God I had the privilege to go through what I went through during that time with not even understanding. But that's for another time, all right? But the thing about it is, David felt this too. As we look at 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, this is a real key verse here. David, this happens to be in the setting here in 1 Samuel 30. This is the area where David was going back to Ziklag. Okay, this was his home that he was going back to. He had just completed a fight, and they were coming back on a high note, and from a distance they saw their village burning in Ziklag. And David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Can you imagine? Here they were doing God's work. They were coming back and they saw their village burning. So they wanted to kill David because he led them away and led them astray. And this was the thanks that God did for them while they were out fighting for the Lord, and they come back, and they came back, and their village was all gone, deserted. Women, children, livestock, everything was gone. Big thanks, right, for doing God's work. So the men talked about stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord. In another translation, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Sometimes no one is ever going to encourage you. You have to walk it all by yourself sometimes. You can't expect your brother or your sister to come alongside of you and encourage you. You are feeling all alone, perplexed, confused, discouraged, pressure. Is this really worth it? I'm going to throw this in. Well, if you do, you know you're going to end up losing. But David somehow encouraged himself in the Lord. And you know what? Sometimes we need to do that ourselves. We need to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps or whatever you want to call it. And you know what? You need to say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. You have caused me to triumph over my enemies. You have seated me in heavenly places. I am the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. Satan, you are a liar and the father of lies, and I'm not going to listen to those words of discouragement, and I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. And that's what we need to do ourselves. You know, point three here, opposition will come, but will not defeat us. I think it's very interesting. The scripture says we are persecuted, but not abandoned. And this word persecuted, dioko, it means to pursue as a hunter pursues his prey. How many knows that in 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, Satan, your enemy, is like a roaring lion roaming around seeking whom he may devour. And so, you know what? Opposition, it's going to come. But it will not defeat us. I love this scripture, Matthew 5, 11. Blessed are you when people insult and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you. Rejoice and be glad. How can I rejoice and be glad when I am being persecuted? It does not make any sense, any earthly sense whatsoever, when you're being persecuted for righteousness' sake, that you rejoice in that? How can you do that? You know, you probably know that I'm also the chaplain of the sheriff's department. And years back, I had someone in the department, kind of one of those messengers of Satan sent to torment me. How many... Has anybody ever had a messenger of Satan sent to torment you? And I'm telling you, the more that I tried to give aid and assistance to this individual, the more I got stabbed in the back. And I mean, it was none of their business what I was doing with the spiritual life ministries at the jail. Why were they sticking their big nose into my business? Right? And really, I went through torture. I've been doing this 15 years now. I want you to know this. And I went through a period of 2 years doing it with this individual. And I'm telling you, and this is not my nature. Okay, I'm just telling you, this is not my nature. But I had to go to this individual, and I said, you know what? I'm not going to talk to you anymore. I want you to understand that I'm doing my work, I'm doing my business, and you do your business. Now, I've talked with all the heads before I did this, right? Because I'm not there to cause problems or confusion. But the thing about it is, sometimes you got to draw a line in the sand and say, I'm not going to put up with this anymore. And I'm just going to move on. I'm going to do what God has put my heart to do. And I'm going to do the right thing, regardless if they say all kinds of evil things against me falsely. So, you know, sometimes we got to do that. And that's okay. Eventually, you'll get over it. And, you know, Daniel, right? Boy, talk about persecution for doing what was good. Here, Daniel, here he is. He's high up in the kingdom here. And in Babylon, and he's praying every day, and he gets thrown in the lion's den for helping the kingdom advance. And so here we need to, you know, his persecution, right, for his consistent faith and devotion to God, he was thrown into the lion's den, but God intervened and shut the mouths of the lion. Thank God for his intervention in our life to shut the mouth of the lion, and we'll be persecuted. We will be persecuted. So, you know, I said, expect that. And how many know we are being persecuted, right? Hopefully for doing good, all right? You can be persecuted for not doing good. And then think that you're doing good and you're getting persecuted for doing bad. Well, what? If you're doing good and you're getting persecuted, then that's, you know, counter to all joy, brothers. All right, but you can get persecuted for not doing good. So let's make it clear. Last point that we're headed here is that, you know what, hard hits will come, but will not eliminate us. Hard hits will come, but will not eliminate us. For we are struck down, but not destroyed. You can be struck down, but you don't have to stay down and be eliminated and destroyed. And any time that I feel that way, I start doing this. Just kind of makes me want to do that a little bit, you know. I love that. I mean, Sylvester, he makes it look so good because of his crooked nose and, hey, Adrian, you know, whatever. But, yo, hey. But, I mean, I love it because he gets knocked down and he is just barely getting up. Hard hits will come, but they will not destroy us. You know, first or second Corinthians, I love this scripture, 23 through 29, it lists, and you can go to this, I'm not going to list it for you, but or read it for you, but it lists many adversities that Paul encountered. But God, say, but God. Say that again. One more time. But God delivered him from them all. Can you imagine being shipwrecked, beaten, left for dead, stoned? I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. Being persecuted for righteousness. I am perplexed, confused on all sides. Fears within, conflicts on the outside. Do you get the picture? But we can be confident in the middle of crisis. See, that's where we come together today to hear the word of the Lord and to help us and to reiterate what has happened in the past in history. It's no different from what we're going through even today. It's as relevant and as up to date as any newspaper. So this, we should take courage and we should take encouragement from this as we move forward, that God will help us in our time of need. And Jesse, where's Jesse at? There he is back there. He mentioned this several times. I love this proverb. Proverb 24, right? 24:16. For though the righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. I love that. He rises again. I just love that because he rises again. and we need that perseverance. And you know what? God is here this morning in a very special way. And I'm going to ask the worship team to come up here. And we're going to sing the last song that they had prepared at the altar time. And I kind of move things around a little bit. Thank you for letting me to move things around a little bit this morning. But you know what? The question is, where are we at today? Isn't that correct? Where are we at today? And I'm going to ask that you just kind of lower the lights out here in the house. You know, do you feel pressured, disappointed, confused, defeated, persecuted, struck down? God cares about where we're at as a family, as a body of Christ. And as the worship team just plays this last song, and if you feel like you've been going through it, you've been all of those things, depressed, confused, persecuted, abandoned, let me tell you what, God loves you, cares for you, and wants to put you right back on the right path and get the cloud vanished from your sight and give you focus as we turn our eyes upon the Lord. Let's go ahead and let's sing the last song here this morning.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. The fire. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Red cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found.
Thank you, Lord. You know, I'm here as a guest, but I don't know everybody here. And if you're here today and the Spirit of God is even dealing with your heart, spiritually you're not where you should be. Maybe you've just come in and you've heard some things that are happening. But God's got a plan for your life. The plan for your life is to give you joy and peace and direction and purpose and meaning in this life. So let me tell you, there'll be some people up here after we dismiss this morning. And if that's you, I want to encourage you to come, and we want to pray with you. We want to help you. We want to give you some direction for your life. Maybe it's just a recommitment back to say, Jesus, man, I messed up. I need help. You know, that's what we're here for. We're here as a body trying to help one another and point the direction as to what God wants us to do. So I'm going to pray, and then the worship team's going to sing this song again after my prayer. I believe we can be dismissed, but again, I want us to just kind of keep an atmosphere here of just a receptivity to maybe what the Spirit of God is saying and dealing with some people's hearts here this morning. Amen? All right. Father, what a privilege that you give us to be called sons and daughters of the Most High God. Wow. Thank you, Jesus, for the work that you did on the cross. You took our sins upon you so that we can be free from sin. All we have to say is yes to you. Repent from our ways. And Jesus, you can come in and give us a brand new life. Lord, you're so good to us. We are a blessed people. God, I pray for each family that's here this morning, that you would continue to minister to each one by your Spirit. And as we continue to move confidently in you, that you will continue to reveal day by day the path that you want us to take. Help us, Lord, as we continue to call upon your name. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right, lead us again.
Are you hurting and broken, thin, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Well, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Behind your regrets and mistakes, come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was born with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was born with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
And oh, what a Savior. Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is blood of Jesus Christ.